That was a bit of active listening with New Shoes, I Can't Wait, slowed down to 16 RPM. Before that, Kim Cascone with Black Gun Red off the Mayor's Bow Remix album. Before that, Pink Abduction Ray with Hacked Your Cyber Brain. Before that, Lauren Boosfield, Blown Blooms. Thanks for tuning in to Active Listening. You can tune in every Sunday night at 9:38 Eastern, 6:38 Pacific, etc. on numbers.fm, or you can check out playlists and MP3s of past episodes at badtasteforlife.com. That's badtaste4life.com. This is Dahlia signing off.
Ik hoor het volgens mij in de uitzending ook goed, maar dat weet ik niet zeker.
Oké. Oké, daarvoor is dat soundcheck. Kun je onze eerste soundcheck
hebben? Nee. Ik heb wel een keer zo'n mensen die deze deur krijgen om op de hoogte te zetten. Ja, doe maar wat. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Wacht even. Eerst, godsom is het tune. Ja, dat zeggen we altijd, hè. Nee, oh, niet hier. Oh, god, in de tijd. Ja. Ik ga start opname.
Heel goed. Ik ga even bellen met haar. Ik ga even...
Ja, want het is 12 uur op woensdag. En dat betekent natuurlijk dat... Ja. Dat ik pak hoe serieus je met je droom hebt. Activiteit. Activiteit. Activisme kunst.
Ja. Overstuurde chaos.
En overstuurde chaos, als het even lukt. Helaas, bijna geen echo.
De echo is nog misschien verloren gegaan in de vaart der volkeren.
Ja, maar ik heb begrepen dat het ook mogelijk is om de echo terug te halen.
Echo.
maar even serieus, dus wat dit is immers altijd serieus. Dus van alles gebeurt in de wereld en soms willen we het daarover hebben met mensen. Zo zou een mens gaan komen praten of aan jij luisteraar vertellen over Hongarije en de verkiezingen die niet zijn gewonnen door Orbán. Maar door iemand anders.
Ja, dat is uitstekend nieuws dat het niet door Orbán gewonnen is.
Ja, dat is precies.
Maar volgens mij moeten we het nog zien met deze meneer. Want die is nog niet zo lang geleden afgescheiden van diezelfde partij.
Nee, het is ideologisch schijnt het ook helemaal niks voor te stellen. Maar in ieder geval, wij hopen altijd dat de slinger terug slingert weg van MAGA naar ANARGA.
Ja.
Of zoiets.
Ja. Ik zag gisteravond een dol enthousiaste.
Hallo Annie. Oh.
Ja, hey, hallo. Ja, we immediately stop. Hallo, welke taal? Which language do we speak?
English.
English. Hey, we're already in the broadcast. So,
how are you?
I'm fine. Hello. And how are you?
I'm fine as well, thank you.
And your name is Annie?
Yes, my name is Annie.
And you are the Hungarian Connection?
Yeah, I am the Hungarian Connection.
And of course we have you in this broadcast because of the elections.
Yes.
Tell me, how does it feel to that Orban is removed after 16 years?
It's like a huge piece of weight being lifted off somebody's shoulders.
And your shoulders, too.
Not just my shoulders, everybody's shoulders. Like, there was a massive amount of tension going on in the entire country. And lately, there has been a lot of freedoms curbed, and that didn't help a great deal on people in general. So we didn't really like that too much.
No. But then, when I hear Orban didn't win the election, he changed the country pretty much, putting his people in crucial places. What do people expect to happen now with all these people who are still in place, and how can you change it?
One of the things that Peter Moyer said as soon as he was elected in his welcoming speech on the street 2 days ago was that it's very nice that he's got 2/3 majority plus 1 seats in parliament, which means that he can change the constitution whenever he wants to. And in order to change the constitution, you need 2/3 majority plus 1 seat. And because of that, if these people will not resign by themselves, and he was mentioning the head of the courts, he was mentioning the head of the media committee, he was mentioning the highest prosecutor, and the head of the state competition agency.
Mm-hmm.
Altogether 9 people. And yes, plus he asked Tomas Ryok, the president of the country, to please also resign. Not really just to resign, but to like endorse his taking office within a week, as opposed to how the law calls for it, which is a month. And then Tamás Ryok yesterday said that he is not going to either resign, or he is not going to have Peter Moyer put into office within a week, because that's just not what the law calls for. And then Peter Moyer in return said, fine, then he will wait out the 30 days, and as soon as he gets into parliament, then he will change the course of the law, meaning the constitution.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay, and are there also people who switched sides, who were Orban appointees, and say, well, I follow the new leader?
Well, so far, not yet. But we know one thing for sure, that the head of the bank, Mihai Varga, is going to stay in place, because Peter Moyer said that he wants financial and monetary stability for the country. And if the head of the national bank is like being changed all over the place very often, then that doesn't show a stable currency. And he wants to have a stable currency because he also wants to join the Eurozone. And without the stable currency, you can't really have the possibility of joining the Eurozone.
I see. And you are living in Hungary. What do you think is for you the first priority? What would you want changed first for yourself, or for things that are maybe prohibited now, or I don't know?
Well, it's such a hard question, because there are so many things that used to be working so well, and now they're just not working too well. Perhaps the easiest thing would be to change is the healthcare system, because a lot of the hospitals are not receiving enough funds, And therefore, like, for example, if you go to a Hungarian hospital, then you just don't find toilet paper in the hospital, and you do not see any... there are no toilet papers in hospitals. That's like a given thing. And also, there are no soaps in the bathrooms either. And they're like in such a horrendous state. That's what I would change first. And for example, during the summer, they couldn't really operate on a lot of places because there was no air conditioning in the operating rooms, and the doctors were like sweating in 42 degrees for like over a month. And in the winter, there was no heating in some of the rooms, like even in children's hospitals. So that really needs to be changed.
And do you expect it will be changed quickly?
Well, it has to change, you know. And I was just opening up my Facebook and my Instagram earlier today, and I was watching that the people who were elected, some of the MPs, they're going to, like, they said what kind of things they will implement as soon as possible. For example, they're going to change the amount expectant mothers are going to receive, and also they have given them a possibility to receive like 50,000 forints, which is not a lot, like 120 euros worth of like baby package by the birth of every single child. And fathers are finally going to be able to go on a birth holiday or birth holiday of like a few months together with their children. Mm-hmm. And I think this is taking steps to get closer to what you guys in Holland are living, which is called a welfare society.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
So high expectations?
Yes, pretty much so. Yes. And a lot of freedoms need to be given back to the people. Like, America is overregulated. Hungary was not really overregulated, but more and more of the freedoms were like taken away from us. And that was like not a very good idea, you know, when you go into a system which is day by day curbing your freedoms. That's pretty bad.
But and how about this Druzhba pipeline?
Yes. You know,
it's running. It's not running.
What's this?
Will it open up again?
Which one? Because there are several ones. There was this one, which is the Turkish line, which is coming through Serbia and Bulgaria.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, it's coming from Russia. And that's the gas line. And that's the one that had like a bomb scare next to it, just outside of the Hungarian borders last week. Mm-hmm. And we really thought that it was just one of Orban's new tricks, how to gain sympathy points for himself. And there's the other pipeline, which is feeding Slovakia and Hungary with oil, and that's the Druzhba friendship pipeline. And that's been blocked by the Ukrainians, and right now, it's not working properly. But I think Zelensky had a talk with Peter Mayer earlier, and with von Leyden, Ursula, and they have agreed that if Hungary is not going to block the 90 billion euros loans for Ukraine to defend itself, then Ukraine will restart the operation of the Druzhba pipeline, and that would be very good because it would be providing heating and gas for the countries. And at the moment, it's not limited how much gas you can buy in the country like it is in so many other countries, but Hungary has just dipped into its last reserves. So yeah, within a month, if something doesn't happen, We will need to change, or we will have to get some other ideas of gas or whatever from wherever.
Yeah, it's
a complex question because it's not just gas, it's not just oil, but LNG as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that comes from the United States and Norway and these things. And we haven't really got into that yet because it would be way too expensive for Hungary to buy. And, of course, Hungarians are the poorest country right now in Europe. Although the European Union has listed Hungary as its number second beneficiary for the past 15 years, 16 years or something like that. Yeah. And we have received three times the amount that was distributed through the Marshall Plan after the Second World War to Austria. Mm-hmm. And Austria is like a stable country, you know, it's a welfare society. Hungary is not. And because a lot of the funds didn't make it to the people, but Orban tried to nationalize these funds and nationalize the companies. Because before Orban, Hungary was like a market for the European Union and for European Union countries. And he wanted to stop that. He wanted to buy back some of the factories, some of the plants, and he wanted to create jobs for Hungarians and didn't want Hungary to be used as the European Union's railway market. And in some ways that has happened as well, except he, instead of putting back, reprivatizing some of the factories and some of the assets of the country, he has bought it back for himself and for his own family. Which is pretty bad. His claim was that this way, at least, it will remain in Hungarian hands and will not be sold out to foreigners. Which is one claim, but then again, it's his hands and his son's hands and his daughter's hands, so that's not something very nice.
I see.
Is there a chance or a risk that Orban and Fidesz will return, like Trump has returned?
Well, we don't know. Most likely, yes, because one day after the elections, Orban has emerged and he has put a video on his Facebook page saying, from next week, now we take a rest, and from next week, I will go personally to all the little areas and cities and countryside places in the country, to talk to everybody, to regroup and to see how we can make our lives better. So it sounds like he wants to return. Yes.
Too bad.
Yes.
Well, he was like a very good politician a long time ago. He emerged to power saying Russians go home, and that was in 1987 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Russians did go home. And he was a very charismatic person, but he just kind of like swamped himself with money and power corrupted him in many ways. And he had some very good ideas, and he was a fantastic, charismatic, bold statesman in the past. But, conquering the country a few times has meant that the people gave him power, as much power as possible. And then he started to play on the international political field, which he thought made him important. But in reality, now it seems like Putin is happy with whomever is in power in Hungary, as long as he can do business with us.
I
asked my questions, but what can you advise us? What do we have to look for? What do we have to see in Hungary to see how it's going? What's important to watch as an outsider?
Well, when you arrive to the country, the first thing that you notice is that you don't really have the clean streets that you would have in Austria or in Switzerland or wherever. Okay, it's not that dirty either, but still, that's the first thing people notice, that why is there so much dirt in this country, on the streets, everywhere. When you walk into a hospital, it smells like urine, and it wouldn't be a big issue to like have more money spent on cleaning materials and more cleaning people. So I think that's the first thing I would watch for, you know, the cleanliness.
Okay, and
What about the media? Because we hear that the media is completely controlled by Orban and his friends, the public media as well as the private media. This is going to be a very complicated thing to resolve, I guess.
That's what one would think, but in reality, Peter Magyar said that the state media is right now producing news pretty much. And he didn't want to close the news station, the state media, altogether. He just said that they will stop them from giving out news and broadcasting news, because that's like something that the media is not doing too well. And actually, this morning, he was invited to the news program of the media from 7:30 till 8 o'clock to be televised and to, for the first time, to be able to talk to Hungarian. Because until now, he was only once in the state media for like 5 minutes. And he was not allowed, or no opposition politician was allowed to even enter the building. So now, for the first time, he was invited, since he's not an opposition anymore, but became like the prime minister. And I really wonder how it's going to be, like how he is going to change the news program, because I know that the news programs were receiving their orders from Orban's ministerial office. And there was this one person entrusted to like run every single news station and then tell them what's going to be on your news and what's the angle of your news stories and how to do them, which is insane, but that's what's happened. And now Orban is still in, you know, in power for the next 30 days officially. Unofficially, he's probably going on a holiday or a mental institution soon enough. But no, he said that he will go and start going around the country and talk to people. So we'll see how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Hey. Hello. Yeah. What is the name of the woman who just spoke?
Annie.
Oh, congratulations with the exit of Orban in your country.
Thank you very much. It gives us all hope. Thank you very much. It's very nice of you. Yes, it gives us all hope, indeed. If we were able to get rid of Mr. Orban, then I'm sure Mr. Trump will follow up pretty soon.
Yeah. And you know, I am from Greece, darling, and we in Greece have a worse press freedom situation than Hungary. This has been officially proved by all kinds of international press organizations. So if you guys can do it, then we have a little hope here in Greece, you know.
Yeah. Very much so. I'm sure you can do it too. And you know, Greece is a fantastic country. And you do deserve to have a peaceful life, and you do deserve to have like a welfare society where you know that your taxes are actually serving you and are not being stolen. And yes, you do deserve very good old age pensions and a beautiful holiday home as well, because Greece is a gorgeous country. So go on.
Well, if you ever come and visit me.
I will, definitely.
Okay. And you know, also in Greece, Hungary is also known for its horrible treatment of refugees under Orban. And it's even worse in Greece. So also debt for the refugees is very hopeful what happened in your country.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, we don't have refugees in the country because Orban has decided to throw them out. So the treatment of them in the country is non-existent.
No, at the borders, I mean, at the borders, of course.
But yeah. If they would come, I'm sure they would, like, Hungary, where would you go if you had the chance to live? I mean, would you go to a poor country, which is dirty and where the hospitals smell like urine? Or would you go to Switzerland, where you can eat from the street because it's so incredibly clean? Of course you would go to Switzerland. But I wouldn't go to Switzerland because I would be called in Switzerland. I would be going to Greece, for example. Or Spain.
No. Forget Greece as a refugee. Not a good idea.
I'm sorry about that, but maybe that will change too, because to start with, I didn't agree with the fact that first we shot the refugees' homes to pieces in the name of democracy, and then when they didn't really have places to go to, we told them to go back, and we were still shooting out, for example, in the Middle East, and so on, and it was not really nice for us, but I suppose it's modern way imperialism or something like that. Anyway, we'll see how it's gonna go in the future. Let's just not shoot any countries.
Definitely not.
Yes. Very good. Okay, okay. Annie, that was very nice. You can stay on. We have Krul and Ingeborg, who both want to say something. I don't know if they want to do it in order or that you, Annie, want to add stuff to what you told us already, because it's absolutely interesting and we want to know. So first I ask you, Annie, do you want to add anything now about Hungary, or shall we go on with Krul or with Ingeborg?
No, I'm fine, thank you. I'm totally fine.
Good, but I'm afraid we switch to Dutch, maybe, perhaps.
Okay, well, I can speak in English if you want, so I can hear it.
Because
we are so close.
We're so close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, shall I go? Because I also have to leave.
Good, yes, please, Ingeborg.
Okay, well, a perfect bridge from what Anne has to say. Anne, I can tell you that the garbage in Athens and on the beautiful island where I am now, Hydra, which has become an island for the rich and the mighty and the friends of people like Orban or mafioso of Kazakhstan and Russian oligarchs and the friends of the Greek prime minister. It used to be the Leonard Cohen Island, but now it is in the hands of Orban people, if you want. So I'm not at my place here anymore. But I can tell you, I could send you pictures. There is garbage everywhere.
It's terrible in Athens,
on the islands. Why? Because Greece has mass tourism. And because of the very extreme neoliberal capitalist Trump capitalism, if you want, there are no more social services. After all, though, the EU took all the money from Greece that the Greeks still had during the Greek crisis. Mm-hmm. So everywhere, I cannot smell, but people tell me that it smells everywhere horrible. Even in a beautiful holiday country like Greece. So the Orban Mitsotakis Trump policy leads to the same things in Hungary, whether it's garbage or press freedom, which is interesting to think about. And also the hospitals in Greece are in a terrible state. I mean, the ceilings fall down in the operation tables while an operation on patients is taking place. And what I want to talk about now is that the BBC came out with a so-called discovery. We journalists here in Greece already know about this since 5 years. But, you know, when the BBC says it, then the whole world learns about it. And you have certainly heard about the criminal, barbarian, violent pushbacks that Greece does on sea and on land. And there is a ton of material that proves that. And the Greek government of Mitsotakis is still bluntly lying about them and denying them, although we have proof on film, on photos, witnesses, there is a Himalaya mountain of proof, and they still bloody, I would say, fucking deny it, which has become like an old record, a running gag. It is amazing how they can still lie about it. And now the BBC has proved that at the border with the Evros River, so that is the border on land with Turkey, the Greek Ministry of Asylum and Migration, and also the Greek Army and the Greek Border Police, they employ Afghani, Syrian and Pakistani poor refugees to do the pushbacks. So now you have refugees that beat and sexually abuse and steal from the other refugees that are trying to come into Greece, and they are given papers in return for their job to be free to move around in Greece. They get the stolen telephones that are stolen from the refugees as their own telephones, and they are paid really well. So how dystopian do you want it, the reality to be? So refugees that are desperate in Greece because they will not get asylum and will not get residence papers, they do get asylum and residence papers and a salary and telephones by doing the horrible job that once they were victims of themselves. You know, it's like the Jews in Auschwitz who had to help and work to bring other Jews to the gas chambers.
Yeah, yes. that's a pretty bold thing. But yes, something else in between. Someone came into the studio, Jo, who has a question for Annie, and he's afraid she's leaving. So maybe we can do that in between quickly.
Yes.
Yeah, talking about leaving, I have heard that there is a big, huge, enormous, widespread Hungarian diaspora in places like Amsterdam and Brussels and Tanzania. But Anne, I'm sure you know better. When do you think they will return?
Well, I do hope so. That was one of the first things that came to my mind. I mean, I'm a very emotional person in many ways. It's not very often that I cry, but I kind of like shed a tear when there is this hymn that people were singing for their loved ones who were leaving the country, because during the past 16 years, more than 1.5 million people have left the country, and about 80% of my personal friends have left as well. And a lot of them live like in the UK, in Holland, in Australia, all over the place. And I could never just have like, you know, a birthday party with all my friends, because they're, as you said, in the diaspora, all over the place. And that was my first thought. It's like, oh my God, I can have my friends back. Oh my God, they can come back and we will have jobs and we will be hopefully able to make a living, because that was one of the main reasons why people left. In Hungary, you have to have 2, sometimes even 3 jobs. Practically, you have to work like 18 hours per day in order to make a living, because a normal job would not pay you enough, and they're expecting you to like work in a normal job, like not 9 to 5, but from 8 till 7. And then if you work from 8 till 7, then when do you have time to make money? Because from the amount of money you make at your workplace, you can barely even pay for your rent. So anyways, if there will be normal wages, hopefully, and there will be jobs in the country, and we will not have this authoritarian regime who is like cynical and who was not caring about its own people and who was not thinking about its children and was just living for its own sake, and and build up a system where one is either with them or against them, and if you were not with them, then you were expected to leave the country. So we don't have that cynical regime anymore, and that means that my friends can come back, hopefully, and I'm sure a lot of people would be willing to come back, because I know that there were like parties celebrating the win of Peter Moyer.
Yeah,
and
but tell me, strategic question, because
yes?
I understand that it's usually the more intelligent people that leave an autocratic country. So you have a brain drain. So the Hungarian civilization has suffered a loss of intelligence, you know.
Just like in Greece.
This is like what Trump wants to do in 2 days.
He
has done in the last 60 years, right? Destroy civilization. So the question is now: if
not just that, but also like the education system was kind of like this.
That's the situation. But now, how can we make the difference? How can we change this? The question is: how can we bring the diaspora back to Hungary, maybe not physically, but somehow in a way that will restore the intelligence of the whole nation? Do you know what I mean?
May I jump in here?
Ingeborg Beugel, she's a famous journalist from Hydra in Greece. Introduce yourself, please. Annie, she's a famous journalist from Hungary. Introduce yourself.
Yes, but I want to jump in. It's a question for Annie on your question, darling.
Annie, the
same goes for Greece. And I have a suggestion for the question of Jo. My question on top of his is, one of the reasons that people don't get paid and also have three or four jobs in Greece is that Greece is giving so much money for military equipment. Is the same happening in Hungary, like the border surveillance? And if you spend less money on that, you can spend more money on teachers, doctors, etc.
Toilet paper.
That's a good idea, I think.
Let's eliminate the borders with toilet paper. That would be a nice creative intervention.
Let her give her answer.
Annie, please answer.
I also have a question.
No, you already have a question, but she has two words of her answer. Let her answer.
Okay, you.
No, go ahead, have a question. Because thank you. It's very hard to figure out what's going on because, you know, Greece is part of NATO as well. You guys are part of NATO as well. And it's one thing that we are spending money, not necessarily just on border protection, but we are required to spend, I think, 3% of the GDP on NATO and on buying various weapons and artillery from NATO. And I think it was Mr. Donald Trump who has brought in this new law that by the end of 2030 or something like that, it should be like 5% of the country's GDP per year that should be spent on arms, which is bullshit. Why would you be bringing...
Let's not do
that. Increased costs on weapons if you didn't want war. If you want peace, then you don't buy weapons, I think. But then again, it's just my view. In America, a lot of people have different views because they think that you buy weapons in order to protect yourself. But then again, Hungary is a tiny little country of 9 million people. Come on. It's like 930,000 square meters or square kilometers. It's like, it takes about 6 minutes to fly over it. Then why in the world would we be buying weapons, and what is the Hungarian military worth? Because, you know, if you have a country that you can fly over in 6 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, but why and do you think it is realistic to hope that your new prime minister will stop spending so much money on NATO requests and border surveillance? I mean, will he be able to do that so there's more money for normal wages?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't think it is the
the weaponry and the water protection that's emitted the majority of the funds from this country. I think it was the private businesses of Mr. Orban and his companies and his son's companies, and the money was just stolen. There would be money in this country if it were not stolen by Orban and his people. So it's not the cost of like weapons and tanks and so on, but you know,
corruption.
Simple theft that we're talking about.
Yeah. So thank you very much for all this information. Now I think it's really time for action. So listen.
No.
I have last question. I want to know how much toilet paper do we need to cover all the borders, all the fences in Hungary from two sides. We call it Operation Popla, you know. Koning, Keizer, Admiral, Poepen doen ze allemaal. So the refugees will attack from Greece and the European Hungarian diaspora will attack from inside. And we cover the fences with toilet paper in many colors. How much kilos of toilet paper do we need? Can you calculate this, Annie, please?
Oh, come on.
Sorry to say, simple toilet paper would not do.
It's a waste.
Because there is like electricity in the fences, so
yep,
they would burn. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
We can find a way. No problem. Okay.
But what? Toilet paper won't do it, guys.
Cool has left.
Oh,
cool has left. So Ingeborg has something to say still, I think, and I'm going to see if Krul can come back because he's gone.
I also have poetry.
Okay. Some poetry.
It's in Dutch.
Okay, well.
Or in Arab. Somebody can read Arab?
No. I can't. Sorry.
Okay, I will read it in Dutch. It's by Mahmoud Darwish. You know, he's a Palestine famous iconic dead poet. And I just opened the page. You see, this is the. Yeah, we don't have camera. Ah, this is radio.
I would think talk into the microphone. That would be a good idea.
Yeah, no, dan moet ik hem vasthouden.